So we're on Samach Zion tonight. So if you remember, we were discussing the idea of being Mevatel Rashut. So we said within the sheet of Shmuel, we said that if you have two adjacent chatzerot, so you can't be Mevatel Rashut, one adjacent Rashut to another one. And Shmuel required it had to be something where you not only had the ability to be Ma'arev together, but you were Oser one another. In other words, you're blocking the other one from carrying on Shabbos. So with two adjacent chatzerot, you're not blocking each other from carrying on Shabbos. So he held you can't be mevatel rishut. But according to Abaye, Shmuel held that if I have a chatzer within a chatzer, then he felt that not only could you be ma'arev together, but you would be blocking because the inner chatzer would impact on the outer chatzer, and that they could be mevatel rishut one to another. Then Rava said that Shmuel's view was much more constricted. He didn't have a carte blanche to be mevatel, and it depends on the circumstances. So Rava set up four cases. There are two variables. One is the Erev in the inner chatzer, the Erev in the outer chatzer, is the person who didn't participate in the inner chatzer or the outer chatzer. So so we did three of the cases last night, and now we're on the fourth case. On the top of Samach Zayin, Amud Aleph, Michael. Okay. So the fourth case is Shachach Echad Min Achitzona V'lo Yirev. So here we're talking about where the Erev was in the inner Chatzer. Again, the inner Chatzer had an Erev, the outer Chatzer had an Erev, and then they joined forces, so to speak, and they put all their Eruvim in the inner Chatzer. So that's like the corporate offices are in the inner Chatzer. And then it turned out Shachach Echad Min Achitzona V'lo Yirev. One of the people in the outer Chatzer didn't participate in the Eruv. So, Vadai Pnimit Muteret. So in this case, according to Rava, Shmuel holds that the Pnimit is Muteret if that person would be Mevatel his Rishus. Why? Da'ach T'dasho Mishtamsha V'chitzona Asura. That, figuratively speaking, the inner Chatzer can close the door and say we're on our own. Meaning, the inner Chatzer could say to the outer Chatzer people, the only reason we got together with the whole bunch of you was to help us out. And now you're not helping us out, you're dragging us down because one of your guys, well, you know, didn't participate in the thing. So we really don't want to know from you anymore. So which is always a nice way of putting it. So we don't want to know from you. So we're like seceding from the union. We want to secede from this union. Now, according to the Chachamim, they don't even need Bitul Rishus. It's based on a sugya later on. They don't even need it, but according to Rabbi Akiva, the person who was out has to be Mevatel Rishut, the Chitzona Asura, and then the Chitzona can't carry anymore. So that's the case that we think that Shmuel says that they could be Mevatel Rishut, and then that would work. Now, when the person from the inner Chatzer, in case number three, case number three and four is where the Erev is in the inner Chatzer. Case number three is a person from the inner Chatzer forgot to participate. Case number four is where a person from the outer Chatzer forgot to participate. So in case number three, where the person from the inner Chatzer forgot to participate, so there, that's not grounds to dissolve the union, so to speak. It's like the American Civil War. Like you can't, in other words, yeah, he forgot to participate, but they can't say, well, you know, now everything is all bets are off because it's a whole chevra. So you can't be mevatel rishut mechatzel chatzer according to Shmuel. But in this case, you could. Let me just do four more lines, and I'll take questions, comments, or thoughts. Oh, let me let some people in. One second. Okay. So the Gemara says, okay, on the third line. So Amarlei Rav Huna b'Rei Rabbi Yeshua the Rava. So Rav Huna the son of Rabbi Yeshua said to Rava, Rava is the one who's setting forth Shmuel Shitot, he says, V'chi shachachach min apimi v'lo irev, if somebody on the inner chatzer, case number three, forgot to participate, and he didn't. So amai shtein asurot, why are they both prohibited? His idea is, livatel bar pnimit levenei pnimit. Let him just be mevatel rishus in favor of the people in the inner chatzer. In other words, Shmuel holds, you're limited on being mevatel mechatzer lechatzer. Then I have all these requirements. But he figures, you know, to be mevatel to the people in my own chatzer, you should be able to do that. V'teiti chitzona v'tshtari b'hadayu. Then, once the inner chatzer has the act together, let the outer chatzer, you know, they'll be joined with them and they'll be allowed to carry. That's his question. So the Gemara, so Rava says, Kiman, who are you going like? Reb Lezer, Damo, Enos, Rikla, Bata, Rishut, Lekol, Chav, Yechad. you were saying that the interpersonal just means about the rishus of the people in the inner chatzer. That works well according to the opinion of Reb Lezer, who holds that you don't have to be mivat rishut to everybody in the Eruv, just so that works well. Ki kamina, but Rava says what I'm talking about is the Rabbanan, damri sirich levatel l'kol l'chavichad. I'm working with the Shita Chamim, you have to be mivat rishut to everybody, so you can't be mivatel from rishut to rishut in this case. Okay, let me just try to do this as best I can, but the idea, again, was being mevatel rishus. So according to Abaye, again, we have the inner chatzer and the inner outer chatzer, and according to Abaye, Shmuel holds in this case that you could be mevatel rishut from chatzer to chatzer. And then Rava said, no, Shmuel doesn't hold you that across the board you can mevatel from chatzer to chatzer. And as a matter of fact, in three out of the four cases he holds you can't. So we had the cases where we had the inner chatzer, the outer chatzer. First two cases were the Eruv was in the outer chatzer, and then one person from the inner or the outer chatzer left out. And the third and fourth cases are the Eruv was in the inner chatzer. So the only case, according to Rava, that Shmuel says works with the Beitel Rishut, I'm just repeating, is where you have the Eruv is in the inner chatzer, somebody from the outer chatzer forgot to participate. So then the people in the inner chatzer could say, listen, you know, we've had it with this. In other words, we entered into this Eruv just for our benefit. It's dragging us down now. In other words, you had this problem. We want to, like, dissolve the union. So we're going to have our own Eruv here in the inner chatzer. Now, according to some opinions, you don't even need the Beitel Rishut from the person in the outer chatzer. But, like, according to Rabbi Akiva, you need the Beitel Rishut. So he'll be Mevatel, his Rishus. And then that'll be it, Gamarno. That's the best I have with this. Okay, who's got questions, comments, thoughts, anything I did so far?
Right. Why couldn't you do the same thing in the third case?
Yeah, in the third case, it's because they had joined in a union, and the person who didn't join in this union was a person in the inner chatzer. So the person, we can't say we want to dissolve the union based on the fact that one of our own b'nei chatzer, you know, didn't participate. So we're not going to dissolve the union, and then you can't be mevatel rishus across the chatzer road, according to Shmuel. But in the fourth case, we want to dissolve the union. We want to be on our own. We're the inner chatzer. We all participated. Nobody's out of it here. So then we can sever the relationship and because we only entered into this.
Even though it's chatzer to chatzer.
Right. In other words, the chatzer in this case you could be bought from chatzer to chatzer. Right. In this case, the only case that Shmuel says you can be bought from chatzer to chatzer. All right, let me move on. I think the rest of the Gemara is difficult, but it's not as difficult as what we just did. Okay, let's take a look further in the Gemara in Samach Zayin Amud Aleph. So we're at the the two dots around eight lines down. Now Rav Chista Rav Sheshet Kipagi Bahadid Hadadi. When Rav Chista and Rav Sheshet would encounter one another, Rav Chista Maratan Sifate Mimatniyata Rav Sheshet. Rav Chista, his lips would tremble from all the brises that Rav Sheshet knew. Rav Sheshet knew a lot of brises. So he's like this Rav Leibowitz was saying, it's like the meat of like a Sinai. We'll see in a minute. And he says, Rav Sheshet, Marata Kuli Gufa, mi Pupule Rav Chista. And Rav Sheshet, his whole body would tremble because of the learning of Rav Chista. Rav Chista is like the Okra Harim. That's the way Rav Leibowitz was saying. So this matches up with Rabba and Rav Yosef, like the Gemara in the Brachot. Rav Yosef had the tremendous Bekias, and Rabba was the Okra Harim. So Rav Leibowitz was saying that both Rav Yosef and Rav Sheshet were blind. They were both blind, and that could account for the fact that they had such like a high memory of all these different brises because they couldn't see, so they were like memorizing all these different brises, and that's the way that was going. Okay, so the Gemara says, "By minei Rav Chista Rav Sheshet." So Rav Chista posed the following question to Rav Sheshet: "Shnei batim, shnei tzidim rishut rabim." Let's say you have two houses on either side of a rishus rabim, the public domain. And Goyim came and put up Mechitzah on Shabbat. And here we have a nice picture. Oh, here's Aaron Gershon. He's going to be upset with me now. Okay, let's take a look. All right, so let's just take a look at the picture. Let me see if I have a picture here. One second. So let me look. Let me go back. One second. Let's see. All right. All right. So everybody see the picture? Here's picture number 14, a nice picture. Here's Rishus HaRabim. And then Goyim come and they put up partitions on Shabbos. So now you have these two batim opening up, and it's like a chatzer, ke'ein chatzer in the middle. Now it's like a chatzer. So now that area is for their usage. So see back in the Gemara, mahu. So what's the halacha? Meaning they didn't make an eruv on Friday, right? They clearly didn't make an eruv on Friday. They couldn't make an eruv on Friday. There was no rishus to make an eruv for. Are they allowed to be mevatel? Can one person be mevatel his rishus to the other one, so the other one will be able to carry on Shabbos? That's what the Gemara asks. He says, so the Gemara says, Aliba the Mandamarim, Beats worship mechas lachatzer, loti bailach. Now, according to the opinion that says there's no beat worship mechas lachatzer, that's two adjacent rishuyot. That's Shmuel, right? Shmuel said, in beat worship mechas lachatzer, because Shmuel holds that you have to have, it's komakom sha'osrin um arvin mebatlin. If one rishus would be aser them, in other words, if I would aser on you, and ma'arvin, I had the potential to make an eruv on Friday, then I could be mabatel. So in other words, I have to be the type that my presence asers you from carrying, and I have the potential to do the Erev. So he says, Hashta Dibo la Rubim Yetmo Matsu Ma'arve, in a case, let's say you have two chatzerot, one next to the other, two adjacent, where they could have made an Erev, but they didn't. Amri name Bitu Rashut Mechas L'chatzer, because you only have one element. In other words, according to Shmuel, you need two elements. I have to aser you, and have the potential to do an Eruv. So if I have two adjacent chatzerot, do I aser you from carrying? No, I don't aser you. You have your chatzer, I have my chatzer. I'm not doing with the people in one chatzer. So, but the only thing is I have the potential to do the Eruv. But in that case, so Shmuel says, so we're not going to have bitul reshut from one chatzer to another one, because you need two prongs. So in this case, we don't even have one prong. Here, like they couldn't have made an Erev on Friday, so it's like a zero. So certainly I can't be mevatel reshut. Kiti bailach, you can ask it. Aliba deman da'amar yishbitu reshut mechatz lechatzer. But according to, and I think this is Rabbi Yochanan, right? This is according to Rabbi Yochanan, there is bitul reshut mechatz lechatzer. If there's one chatzer next to the other one, the people could be mevatel the reshut to permit people to carry. Let's see back in the Gemara. Shmuel Shem Echaz Chatzir. Hatam Tibola Ruvmi Et Mo Matsuma Arve Bituli Nami Matsi Mevatel. So do I say it's linked? I at least have one requirement that I could have made an Eruv. In other words, I don't have two requirements that I'm Oser and make an Eruv, but maybe I have one requirement that I had the ability to make an Eruv. He says about Hachad Lo Matsuma Arve Mi Et Mo Bituli Nami Lo Matsi Mevatel. Here they couldn't even make an Eruv on Friday because the partitions weren't up. So maybe even Reb Yochanan, who's more liberal. And the idea is, like, this idea of being bitul reshut is something the Chamim, it's all a din d'rabbanan. The whole din of Eruvin is a din d'rabbanan. And the Chamim are permitting you to, you know, sort of get around the obligation to make an Eruv by being mabatel reshut. So when did they institute that, the ability to be mabatel reshut, to you know, if where you didn't make an Eruv? So maybe it's only where you could have made an Eruv. Here, so over there, at least they can make an Eruv, the two Chatzei wrote. Here, they couldn't make an Eruv. Odil Maloshna, or maybe it doesn't make a difference. Maybe you, whether they could enter into an Eruv or not, maybe they could be Vata Rashut. So Amar Lay, now this was Rav Chista was asking Rav Sheshet. So Rav Sheshet says, Amar Lay, Eim Avatlin. He says, they can't be Mavatel. So it sounds like they at least had to have the potential to make an Eruv, which they didn't have that potential. Okay, who's got questions, comments, or thoughts on anything we did so far?
This was all according to Rabbi Yochanan, right? Shmuel for sure would say it's not allowed.
Shmuel for sure not, and the question was in the one Rabbi Yochanan, correct. That's 100% correct.
Awesome.
All right, everybody good?
I was going to say that the Shagas Arya and the Baal Seda Hadoira, it's Rav Rappaport, they used to say about the two of them, that he was Doi Kaharim and the Baal Seder Adoros was the Sinai.
But Seder Adoros, I thought it was Rabbi Yechiel Halpern. Who did you say?
Was the Baal Seder, I mean Rabbi Yechiel Halpern. Rabbi Yechiel Halpern.
And what was the name of the other person you mentioned before?
Chagas Aryeh.
No, not before, the third person.
I made a mistake. It was Rav Rappaport. That was the time he ended up in. What happened with the Chagas Aryeh, as did the Vilna Gaon, who lived at the same time, they went into Golos with their Rebbetzins.
Right.
And the Vilna Gaon used to say about the Shagas Aryeh, about the Nigla, is Hu V'Ani, and Nista is Ani V'Hu. That's what the Vilna Gaon used to say about the Shagas Aryeh.
What's with Rabbi with Rappaport? How does he fit in?
I'll tell you how he fits in. He came to this town, and Epistarov was giving drasha, and Shagas Aryeh made with his hand like this. And it turned out in those years, the shul actually had like a solitary confinement. They had a room that if you went against the rov, or you went against, they would throw you in that room. So they actually took the Shagas Aryeh, and they gave a couple, and they hit him also a little bit, and they threw him into this room. And the Rebbetzin started to scream on the side, Zugarois, Zugarois, tell him who you are. You don't want to say anything. Finally, he came before the Rav, and the Rav started to talk when he saw that this guy knows a Sefil to be a regular guy. And then the Shagas Aryeh mentioned a whole shtickle of his own Sefer, and he mentioned it like it was his. So that got the Rav more angry. He says, that's enough for the Shagas Aryeh, that's a Shagas. So anyway, to make a long story short, the end was that the Rav realized who he was, and the Rappaport, that he actually took off his shoes or his slippers, they said, and he beit mechila from the Shagas Aryeh.
It was the rabbi of the town was Rabbi Rappaport.
He
was
Rappaport.
Okay, thanks so much. Okay, I'm going to move on now. Okay, now we're 10 lines from the bottom. Can you mute yourself, Aaron Moshe, please?
Yeah.
Okay, so the Gemara says, "Meit nochri b'Shabbat mahu." Now, let's say you have two Jews who are living with a non-Jew. And they didn't do Schiris Rishus before Shabbos, and they certainly didn't make an Erev or anything like that. So then on Shabbos, the non-Jew dies. The non-Jew dies on Shabbos. Mahu, at this point, can they do Bitu Rishus on Shabbos? Can they do Bitu Rishus on Shabbos? Now, if you remember, we had an incident, I think in the Gemara, it was a day or two ago. Remember, with the three Chachamim, they came to a pundak, and there were two versions, whether they had entered into an Erev or hadn't entered into an Erev. And then the Goy, who was the landlord, showed up on Shabbos. And the question is, could they have done Schiris Rishus? And the idea was they wanted to do Schiris Rishus and then have Bito Rishus. So the Gemara says that Rabbi Yochanan said, Yefes Sitem Shiskartem, that you did good. You did good to do Schiris Rishus on Shabbos. And then, okay, so let's take a look back in the Gemara. So the Gemara says, now here, when the Nakri dies on Shabbos Mahu, Alibid Manda Amar Sokrin Lo Tibayalach. So according to Rabbi Yochanan, who said in the earlier Sugya that you could even do Schiris Rishus and Bito Rishus on Shabbos, in other words, you'll do Schiris Rishus from the Goy when it suddenly showed up, and then you'll be Mabatel Rishus, and at least one of you will be able to carry. He says, Hashta Tarti Abdinan, if he permits to do two procedures on Shabbos, either Schiris Rishus and Bitul Rishut, Chara Mibai, so certainly one, just Bitul Rishut, that I certainly could do, then he would be okay. Ela Kiti Bailach, Libudamar Ein Sokrin. Now, according to the Ein Sokrin, that's according to Shmuel. Shmuel says that you're not allowed to do Schiris Rishus from the Goy on Shabbos. So what would he say? Tarte hud lo abdinan. Would he say that I can't do two procedures, Schiris Rishus and Bitul Rishut? He says, hachara abdinan. But one, I could do. I could just do the Bitul Rishus on Shabbos. That's the question. Just one second. Yeah. He says, odilma lo shna, or maybe not. In other words, the idea is that on Friday, I wasn't in a position to make an Erev with this chatzir because the Goy was there, and I didn't do Schiris Rishus with the Goy. So the question is, do I have to have had the ability to make an Erev before Shabbos before I could do Bitul? So how will Shmuel hold in this case? Will he say, well, the Goy is like dead now, so now I can do Bitul Rishus? Or he's saying, no, since I couldn't do the Erev on Friday, so I can't do Bitul Rishus now. So Amarle. So now, who was talking to who here? This is, let me take a look. This was
Rav Sheshet.
Is that right? Rav Sheshet? One second. Yeah.
Rav Sheshet is answering.
Yeah. So Amar Lay, so it's Rav Chista and Rav Sheshet. So Amar Lay, Ani Omer Mevatlin. So I say that indeed they could be Mevatel or should. Rav Nuna Amar Ein Mevatlin. But Rav Nuna says he can't be Mevatel. All right. That's the best I have with that piece. Okay. Any questions, comments, or thoughts on anything?
We're talking about the other Jew Mevatel, right?
Right, that's correct. You have two Jews and the Goy. The Goy dies. Now the two Jews are left with one another. So let's say Reuven and Shimon. So can Shimon be Mevatel his Rishus on Shabbos to Reuven to permit Reuven to carry from his house into the Chatzir? That's the question. So again, normally, let's say the Goy was not in the picture. Everybody would agree that if they didn't make an Eruv, Shimon could be Mevatel his Rishus. But since the Goy was in the picture, they didn't have the option, and they didn't do Schiris Rishus from the Goy before Shabbos, so they couldn't have done the Eruv before Shabbos either. So that's the question. Do they still have the ability to do Bitul Rishus? All right. Okay, let's go on. We're at the two dots. We're six lines from the bottom. Everybody with me? All right. So Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, let's say you have a goy, he shares the chatzir with everybody. Let me get a picture here, a picture book. Okay, here's our picture book. Okay, so this is the different homes sharing the chatzir. This is the way they imagine it. I always imagine like separate, you know, detached homes, but he's got attached homes. You have like apartments, and here's in the middle is the chatzer. The middle is the chatzer. So one of the people in this sort of horseshoe arrangement is the non-Jew, and the non-Jew and the back of his home, he's got an opening marked off Aleph, and it's a petach arbal arba, an opening four tfachim by four tfachim, and it opens up into a whole field. He's got like everything over here with the field. All right. So the question's going to be whether he's machshiv. This opening is his major opening. So let's see back in the Gemara. So Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel Nachri Sheshlo Petach Arbal Arba Patuch LeBika. If he has an opening four tefachim by four tefachim, it opens to a bika, to an open field. Afilu Machnei Sumotzi Gemalim Krono Kolim Kulo Derech Mavui. Even if he's busy bringing in camels and carriages, and here you see the camels and the carriages the whole day long, though this seems like a kind of constricted mavui to bring into. So he says, "Ein oser al b'nei mavui." So he doesn't oser. He the goy doesn't oser. In other words, if they've all entered into an eruv, then this goy won't oser them on the mavui. Here he's assuming that it's a mavui here in the middle. So he says here, "My taima." The petach, which is unique to him, this is the one that he prefers. In other words, he's got his own exclusive entrance and egress here. This is the one he favors. So that's the one we're going to view as his opening. So that being the case, we can view this whole horseshoe as just being Jews who are opening up to the Mavui, and we don't have to worry about the Goy anymore. So the Gemara says, they ask the question of the Beis Medrash, patuch l'karpef mahu. What if instead of opening up to an open field, it's like this picture, 16, it opens up to a karpef, which is a fenced off area. So in other words, he's limited in space. And we're going to define shortly how big the space is, but it's not, the sky's the limit. Now he's in a karpef. Maybe he doesn't like the karpef he doesn't have as much, you know, freedom of action there. So Am Rav Nachman Bar Ami Mishmei de Ulfana. So Rav Nachman Bar Ami says the name of Ulfana. So Rashi says Ulfana Sheshamai Rabo Rabo Mi Rabo. Ulfana means learning. In other words, it doesn't mean that's a person's name. It means he had a Mesora from his Rebbeim. Turn page. Samach Zayin Amud Beis. Afilu Patuch LeKarpef. Even if the Goy, his opening is into the Karpef, in Akinami, he prefers that exit, that entrance, and he's out of the loop with the Mavui. Rabbi Rav Yosef, the Amri Tarvayhu, Rabbi and Rav Yosef both say, Nachri Beis Taim Oser, that if the Nachri, if his Karpef is up to the space of a Beis Taim, you all remember, is 100 Amot by 50 Amot, 5,000 square Amot. So if the Karpef is only less than or equal to a Beit Satayim, then he doesn't prefer it because it's not roomy enough for him. If you look at Rashi on the second wide line, Nakri Beis Taim Oser, Imayalu Petach Karpef Beit Satayim, Upetach Lamavui. He's got one entrance into the Karpef, one to the Mavui. Adayin Osir al b'nei Mabui. He's going to ask on the Mabui, the Avir the Karpef lo nafish. He doesn't have enough room in the Karpef. He says, Aval imayayo terubits time nafish aviru, but he nichalay v'nei Osir. It's larger than he likes it. See back in the Gemara, the second one, what the second line, yo terubits time v'nei Osir. Then the Gemara says, the Yisrael, I will say in this picture, see this picture, they have, the way the picture looks, looks like you're more constricted in the Mavui, though it opens up into the Rishus HaRab, but this also opens up. But it's got to be the Mavui is more roomy, and this is more constricted. The Karpev is more constricted. So then we won't say that he favors that entrance and exit. On the third line, the Yisrael, but of a Jew, it's just the opposite. He says, Beit HaTayim Ein Woser. If it's Beit HaTayim, if this is a Jew's residence, so if it's limited to a Beit HaTayim, less than or equal to a Beit HaTayim, so the Jew's happy, because on Shabbos, we're talking about usage on Shabbos, so the Jew doesn't take big packages, big loads on Shabbos, that's enough room for him, so indeed, he would view this as his main entrance and exit, so he does not have to participate in whether it's a Rubei Chatzer or Shitufei Mevo'ot. He says, Yoteri Beit HaTayim Oser, but if it's larger than Beit HaTayim, so then it would Oser. Why? Because with the Jew, if it's larger than Beit HaTayim, then it's a Carmelite. He can't carry the Carmelite. So he'd rather carry in the Mavui, where we have Lech in the Korah. So then we view him as part of it. Let me just do five more lines and we'll summarize. So, Bai Minei Rav Bar Chaklai Merav Huna, Rav Bar Chaklai Yes Rav Huna, Patuach LeKarpef Mahu. Again, it's the same thing that we just discussed, but he's asking if the goy's entrance and exit opens up to a karpef, what's it then? So Amar Lei, Hare Amru, Beit HaTayim Oser, they said if it's for a goy, if it's less than a Beit HaTayim or it were equal, he osers on everybody without, you know, unless they do Schiris or Shus, Yoter is HaTayim Eino Oser. But if it's larger than a Beit HaTayim, then he doesn't oser it. Okay, now one second. Okay, all right, let me pause. Who's got questions, comments, thoughts, anything we did so far? Yosef, you good?
Yeah, so the Jew would rather have a smaller space.
Right.
And they would rather have a bigger space.
That's it. You got it. Okay, everybody good? All right, so I'm going to go on. All right, let's see on. All right, now we're up to Amar Ula around the eighth line. Everybody with me? Okay. So Amar Ula, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Karpef Yotir Beit HaTayim Shlohu Kaf Ladira. If it's a Karpef that's larger than a Beit HaTayim, larger than 5,000 square amot, Shlohu Kaf Ladira, it wasn't enclosed for residential purposes. There's no house there. There was no house in the Karpef. He says, Vafilu Kur, Vafilu Kurayim. Even if it's as large as a Kur or a Kurayim, a Kur is 30 sa'a, so it's, you know, 15 times larger, or Kurayim, two Kurs, it's like 30 times larger. He says, Hazorik Latoho Chayev. If a person, so it means this Karpef, we treat like a Carmelite, right? In other words, we say the person is not allowed to carry, the Jew can't carry more than Dalet Amot in the Karpef because it looks like a Rishus HaRabim. It's like Lohu Kaf Ladira and it's large expanse. So we treat it like a Carmelite on a Drabanan level. But he says, Hazorek Latoho Chayev. If a person would throw from the Rishus HaRabim into the Karpef, he'd be chayev for Hotzah and Shabbos. My time, Mechitza Hilam Shuchuserat Diurin. Because at the end of the day, it is surrounded by partitions. It just doesn't have people living there. So it looks a little bit like the Rishus HaRabim because nobody's living there. And it's a large expanse, but it's really not a Rishus HaRabim. In other words, so again, so on a Doraisa level, this is a Rishus HaYachid. But the Chachamim say it's a Carmelite that you're not allowed to carry there. But on the other hand, even though they say it's a Carmelite, but if I throw from the Rishus HaRabim to this Karpef, I'll be chayiv for really Hachnas on Shabbos, from bringing from the Rishus HaRabim to Rishus HaYachid, because at the end of the day, it is the Rishus HaYachid. All right? Everybody good? All right, now, when we speak about Carmelite, we had other Carmelites as well, like in the Gemara is going to have, like the sea is a Carmelite, sometimes we have open areas that are Carmelite. So those on a derisive level would not be Rishus HaRabim or Rishus HaYachid. This Karpef is a Rishus HaYachid on a derisive level. All right, let's see back in the Gemara.
Rabbi, can you repeat this last case one more time, please?
The Karpef?
Yes.
The Karpef is a large enclosed area. It's partition, okay. With partitions. But it's low hukah.
It has walls?
It has walls, right. Walls or a fence, whatever. But but it's not for a dira. There's no residence in it. There's no residence in it. So it's just for like usage, storage, whatever. So since there's no residence in it, it looks a little bit like a Rishus HaRabim. There's nobody living there, and you know, and you have a large expanse. So it looks a little bit like Rishus HaRabim. So the Chamim say, on a Drabanan level, it's a Carmelite. It means for the Chumras of a Carmelite, that you can't carry there. You can't carry more than Dalet Amot. But if you would throw something from the Rishus HaRabim into it, you'd be chayev for Hachnasa, from taking Rishus HaRabim into Rishus HaYachid on Shabbos.
Wouldn't you be chayev if it's Carmelite?
So again, a Carmelite is usually Rishus on a Drabanan level. In other words, a Carmelite is something that's not a Rishus Yachid, not a Rishus Rabim, is a Carmelite.
So you're throwing from Rabim to Carmelite, would you be Chayiv or not?
So normally you're not Chayiv for not Chayiv on a Duraisa level to a Carmelite, because it's a Rishus Rabbanan. This Rishus happens to be Rishus Yachid on a Duraisa level.
Okay.
All right, let's see back on the Gemara. All right. So that's Rabbi Yochanan's halacha. So Ula said the name of Rabbi Yochanan, that the karpif is on a derais level of Rishus HaYachid. So the Gemara says, Mativ Rav Huna Bar Chinana. Rav Huna Bar Chinana is going to ask a question, and you got to wait a number of lines for the question to develop. It's from the following braisa. Sela Shibayam, Gavoa Sarav Rocha Varba. There's an outcropping of rock in the sea. Let me see if he's got a picture. I don't know if he's going to have a picture for this, but... Oh, here we go. Here's a picture. Okay. So here we have our Sela Bayam. Here we have the ocean and a rock or a stone coming up from it. And here we have the diagram. So let's see the braisa. So he says, Gavoa Sarav Rochav Arba. So it's 10 tefachim high. In the picture, it's 10 tefachim from the seabed, it looks like. 10 tefachim from the seabed is the way he's got it. And 4 tefachim by 4 tefachim on its surface. So he says, Eimatathal lomana toko liyam, lomana yam latoko. So I can't take from the surface into the yam or from the yam into the surface. This is a Rishus HaYachid, and the yam is a Carmelite. So I'm not allowed to take from a Carmelite to the Rishus HaYachid, or from Rishus HaYachid to the Carmelite. He says, Pachot mikan, but if it's less than 10 tefachim in height, then I could. Then it's a Carmelite, and I could take from one Carmelite to another Carmelite. Now, the next few words we don't understand, and we must be patient. Ad kama, to what size, ad beis hatayim, to the size of beis hatayim. So the Gemara is going to touch up those last few words, then we'll ask our question. So the beginning of the Braisa talks about where I can't carry from the yam to the stone, and the end of the Braisa talks where I could carry. So the Gemara says, hey, so when he said, ad kama beis hatayim, which part of the braisa is that referring to? Ilema a seifa, if we'll say it's talking about the part where I could carry, in other words, so it's less than 10 tefachim high, so beis hatayim tfei lo, so you mean if it's up to beis hatayim, I could carry from it into the yam, and more than that, not. But how can we Carmelite? The Carmelite come atatel. That would just be from one Carmelite to another Carmelite. It's not 10 tefachim high, so it's not surrounded by partitions. Here the partitions are the walls. It's not surrounded by partitions, but it's just a large expanse. So why would I not be allowed to do that? Ela lava resha. So by process of elimination, presumably it's talking about the resha of the brisa, which is where I cannot carry. She says, Vahaki kamar. And we think this is what the brisa is saying. Sela shabiyam gavoa asar v'rochav arba, imitafla mitoko liyam lo miyam latoko. If I have the sela, and it's 4 tefachim by 4 tefachim, and 10 tefachim in height, I can't transfer from there to the yam, of the yam to it. Biyad kama, how big can it be, and that prohibition is still in place, ad beit satayim. Hayetari beit satayim mitaflin. The implication would be that when the rishus gets to be a beit satayim, which is the same thing as our karpef. In other words, it's a beis hatayim. It's 5,000 square amot, and it's 10 tefachim high, which means that's the same thing as being surrounded by partitions. Then I could be metaltel. So this is a steer to what Rabbi Yochanan said. Remember, Rabbi Yochanan said that it's a rishus yachid deraisa level. So if I take from the rishus rabim there, I'd be over on the deraisa level. But I should not be able to transfer from rishus. I normally cannot transfer from rishus yachid to a Carmelite. The yam is a Carmelite, and yet here this makshin is this Rav Huna Bar Chinan is interpreting the brisa. Once the sela gets to be the size of a beis hatayim, and it rises 10 tefachim high, that's like the same as the karpiv. It's like the legally the same. The karpiv is surrounded by partitions. This is surrounded by the height, but that also counts as a partition. So it's like a karpiv in the yam. So the way he's interpreting the brisa at that point, I could transfer from the karpiv to the yam and from the yam to the karpiv. That's the way he interprets the brisa. That's a stira of Yochanan. Yochanan says it's a rishus yachid on the brisa level, and I couldn't be able to do it. So I get to me based on time at Tathlin. So Alma Carmelite. So I see it's a full-fledged Carmelite. So you have to the Rabbi Yochanan. So Rabbi Yochanan should be upgeschlacht. So the Gemara says, Amar Rava, Mandalo Yada Tirusi Maniata, Tufta Moti Vlad Rabbi Yochanan. Somebody who doesn't even know how to interpret brises, he's asking a question on Rabbi Yochanan, which is kind of like a sharp response, but this Rav Huna Bar Chinana, there was the Liolam Aresha. You're right. That part, Ad Kama, does relate to the beginning of the brisa, but not the way you said it. The Hachi Kamar, this is what the brisa is saying. Habitocho Metaltlin, he says that, meaning that within this rishus, on the stone you could carry. If you stay on the stone, you could move objects back and forth across the face of the stone. But Ad Kama, how large can it be where I can move things on the face of the stone, on the surface of the stone, at Beitz HaTayim, up until it's the size of Beitz HaTayim? At that point, then I have the rabbinic prohibitions. Not that I have a heter to take from this karpif, or this stone, and into the ocean, or from the ocean to the karpif. That indeed I cannot do. So the brisa is not a contradiction to Rabbi Yochanan. All right, let me pause for a second. I want people to be frustrated. All right, who's got questions, comments, thoughts, anything we did so far? What's up, Yosef?
Question.
Okay. All right, let's go back. Okay, let's all focus. So the first yisod is that Rabbi Yochanan says, if I have a karpif, which is a large enclosed area, a base of time or larger, that's lo hukaf ledira, on a deraisa level, it's a rishus yachid. As a result of which, if I transfer from the rishus yachid to the karpif, I'm chayiv on a deraisa level. That's what Rabbi Yochanan said. Okay. Then we asked the question from the brisa. The brisa said, if I have the ocean's a carmelite. In the ocean, there's a stone that rises up from the ocean. And the stone is 10 tfachim in height and 4 by 4 tfachim. So it's a rishus yachid. So I can't take from the stone to the ocean or from the ocean to the stone. It's transferring from rishus yachid to the carmelite or from a carmelite to the rishus yachid. I can't do that. But the way Rav Huna Bar Chinana interpreted the brisa, if the stone got to be the size of a beit satayim, then I could transfer. So then that is a sira to Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan says it's a rishus yachid on deraisa level. And he's treating it like from one carmelite to another carmelite. In other words, when it gets to be a Beit Satayim, it's a carmelite. We say it's a carmelite like for the chumras that it can't carry, but it's rishus yachid on deraisa level according to Rabbi Yochanan. But he, the way he interpreted the brisa, now I could take from the surface of the stone to the ocean, or from the ocean to the surface of the stone.
Because it's going from carmelite to carmelite.
Right, so that's ostensibly the way he understood the brisa. So the Gemara says, no, that's not the pshat in the brisa. What the brisa is saying is, on the surface of the stone I can carry, it's a rishus yachid, if it's less than a beit satayim. Once the beit satayim, that I can't carry on the stone, because it's because I have the prohibitions of a carmelite. But in Akinami, it's rishus yachid on the deraisa level. All right. Any other questions? What we did so far?
Right, so I have a question. Can you realistically see somebody who is on the rishus yachid on the stone having to carry or transfer anything into the carmelite?
Again, the Gemara has many cases like this, Ruth. It's just to illustrate the halacha. It could be that it would happen, but we want to just illustrate and understand the halacha. That's what these examples are for. Okay, let me go further in the Gemara. Now,
Rabbi, I also have the comment over here. You mentioned that the way that they measure the height of the stone.
Okay.
Surface of the water or lower?
It seemed like from the seabed. Okay, just one minute. Let me just finish. There's more sugya with this. Let me finish the sugya, then I'll give a bigger pause in 10 more lines that everybody can weigh in with all the questions, okay? All right, let's see back in the Gemara. So I'll come to Rav Ashi Amar. Okay, everybody mute themselves, all right? So Rav Ashi Amar, Liolam Resha. Rav Ashi says, no, it is going on the Resha of the Brisa, and then Hein Amru, Behein Amru. In other words, the Brisa indeed is saying that you are not like the way we said. In other words, Rav Huna Bar Chinina is correct that the Braisa is saying that one second. What did the Braisa say? Right. The Braisa is saying that if it's the size of a Beis HaTayim, I could remove from it to the sea and from the sea to it. So notwithstanding the fact that it's a Rishus Yachid Doraisa, or in other words, it's treated like a Carmelite. It's Carmelite to Carmelite. It is saying that. But Hein Amru, Behein Amru. In other words, the Chum said the sea is a Carmelite, and they're the ones who said these dinim with respect to the stone, the carpets. Hein Amru, Carpe Pieter Bissatayim, Shlu Kafla Dira Metalton Bo Elabar Ba'amot. The Chumim are the ones who said that you can't carry more than Dalet Amot in a carpe, because it looks too much like the Rishus HaRabim. Vehein Amru, Emetatlam Rishud Yachid, the Carmelite. And they also said you can't carry from Rishud Yachid to a Carmelite. So now there's a certain tension here. Beit Satayim, the Shard Tuli Bekulei. So Beit Satayim, the Shard Tuli Bekulei, Atri Banan Tatulei, Loman Ayam Latoko, Lomitoko Liyam. So if it's up to the size of a Beit Satayim or less, so I'm allowed to carry on that whole rishus. So in other words, then the Chamu said, I can't carry from there to the sea or from the sea to it. My taima, rishus yachid gemurahi. In other words, that's a rishus yachid. In other words, when the stone is 10 tefachim high and it's up to a beit satayim, it's a full-fledged, for all dinim, it's rishus yachid. And the yam is a carmelite, that's a rishus on a drabbanan level. They said, I can't carry from the Carmelite to the Rishus Yachid, from the Rishus Yachid to the Carmelite. Fine, showing that works out well. He says, Yetri Beit Satayim, when it's larger than a Beit Satayim, the Asrud Tatuli Bekule, so the Chamim said, you can't carry now in this Rishus, because it looks too much like a Rishus Arabim. Sha'arubanan Tatuli Mitoko Liyam and Yam Latoko. The Chamim permitted you to carry from there to the Yam and from the Yam to it. Now, the Gemara is going to explain. My taima, why did they permit? In other words, theoretically, like Rabbi Yochanan, ultimately it's a Rishus HaYachid. Even though we're saying you can't carry on it, it's a Rishus HaYachid on a derice level, so you shouldn't be able to carry from the stone to the yam, or from the yam to it. Yet, nevertheless, they give you a green light to do that. My taima, Dilma Amri Rishus HaYachid Gemurihi, Batzal Tzuli Bekulei. Because they're afraid that if I say you can't carry from the stone to the sea or from the sea to it, people will say, you know, it really is a Rishus HaYachid and I could carry anywhere on it. In other words, they're both sort of like acting two countervailing interests. On the one hand, we're saying we're treating it like a Rishus HaRabim because it's so large and there's no base dira there, so people can't carry there. But but really it's Rishus HaYachid. But if I say it's Rishus HaYachid, if I say it's Rishus HaYachid, and I say you can't carry from there to the sea or from the sea there, so people will think I could carry anywhere on it. So the Gemara says here, I'm Rishus HaGemurihi, but I thought it's Bekulei, Umay Shana. So in other words, on the one hand, we want to Aster carry more than Dalet Amos there. On the other hand, I have an interest in Asterin carrying from the Rishus HaYachid to the Carmelite, from Carmelite to there. So of those two, they seem to be at loggerheads with one another. The interests of each one seem to be at loggerheads because they're both inconsistent with one another. On the one hand, I want to treat it like a Rishus HaRabim. On the other hand, I want to treat it like a Rishus HaYachid. So why are we giving like priority to treating it like the Rishus HaRabim that I can't carry on it, and giving a green light to transferring to the sea? Maishna, Tocho Shchiach. So the Gemara says, this is a little bit with your question, Ruth. It's more Shchiach, more common that people would carry on the surface of that rock. Mitocho Liyamu, Nayam Latocho Lo Shchiach. It's not so common that people would take something from the sea to the rock or from the rock to the sea. So of those two interests, so I can't have my cake and eat it too. In other words, to have my cake and eat it too would be to do the chumras of both, but one undercuts the other. The chumras of both would be that I can't carry there more than Dalet Amot, but I also, because I'm treating it like a Carmelite, but I also can't transfer from that Rishus to C from the C to Ed. But that would be treating it like a Rishus Yachid, and that would undermine the other Gezerot Rabbanan. So the Chachamim said, you know, of these two Gezerot, we want to give primacy to not carrying on it. Because taking from the C and from the C to Ed, nobody's going to do that, like Ruth said, right? That's Ruth, that's your Svara, right? Ruth, let me see a thumbs up. You still there, Ruth? Ruth? I lost Ruth. All right. So, Ruth, are you still there? Yeah. So that was your Svara, that it's not common. That's what the Gemara says. It's not common. So we're going to give primacy to the prohibitions about carrying, you know, more than Dalar Amot on it, because it looks like Rishus Rabim, not to the part with going from the Rishus Yachid, the Carmelite to the Rishus Yachid. And that they're both Rabbanan issues. Okay, who's got questions, comments, thoughts? Now we'll take all the questions. Okay, who's got questions, comments, thoughts? Daniel, you had a question before, Daniel?
Yes. Why is it that they decide that you're going to go to the bottom of the sea to measure the height?
Yeah.
I mean, so why not go from the upper level of the water?
From the surface. It's. I don't remember the Daniel. I like seeing you when you. I like seeing you when I talk to you. So the. It sounds like when we're measuring the height, we go from where the ground is. That's the way it sounds like. That's when we measure the height. We measure the height from the ground. And here the ground in this case is the seabed. Okay, any other questions?
Any way you could summarize this? Because I'm lost.
All right. The summary is like this, that we have two different types of a carmelite. We have one type of carmelite, which is the carpaf, which is a large, more than Beit Satayim, that's enclosed by partitions, which on a Deraisa level is a Rishus Yachid, but notwithstanding that it's a Rishus Yachid on a Deraisa level, Kami said you can't carry there. You can't carry more than Dalan Amot there because it looks a little bit like the Rishus Rabim. That's one type. Then we have another type of Carmelite, which is not a Rishus Yachid or Rishus Rabim on a Torah level, and that's like the surface of the sea. That's a Carmelite. So the Gemara said, we thought I shouldn't be able to transfer from the Carpif to the sea or from the sea to the Carpif, because even though they're both Carmelite, I could transfer from a Carmelite to a Carmelite, but one Carmelite is really not the same as the other Carmelite. One is really Rishus Yachid on the Rice level, one's not. So the Gemara said, you're right, but the Chachamim decided that halacha has to give way. Because if we say you can't do that, people will view it like a Rishus Yachid, the rock in the sea, and then they'll carry all over it because they'll treat it like a Rishus Yachid. All right. Daniel, that was back. All right. I'm going to move on. Any other questions? All right. Now we're up to a famous sugya, the way Rav Leibowitz says it, which is Amir La'akum, which is B'akum Mitzvah.
Sorry, Rabbi. The battery ran out. I didn't get the answer.
Yeah, well,
it was on the surface of the water.
We measure from the base of the object where it hits the ground. That's the way we would do it. Whether it's out of the ocean or in the ocean, we measure things from the base of the
Why? Why is that? Why would we not go from the surface of the water?
It's 10 tefachim is the height of the object. I why should we measure from the surface?
Imagine with the tide, it goes to the point that you have nothing. I mean, it's the same level as water.
It starts from.
In other words, 10 tefachim is the partition. 10 tefachim is the partition. So 10 tefachim begins from where it is.
What happens if right now it is on high tide and the level comes up to be exactly level with it, and the height from the water is nothing, even though it goes further down?
Yeah. Well, I'm not an expert on objects in the water, but in Lechora, it sounds like that you would still have like the partition of 10 tefachim. It's working with the idea of good asik. In other words, it's 10 tefachim high, and then we extend it. That's the way this is working. In other words, normally you have the flat ground and the partitions around it. It's like the mound. In other words, you have a mound, you know, like a height. So it's 10 tefachim high, then I have the surface, so we view it as like going up. And we view it that way, whether it's on the ground or in the ocean. That's the best I have with it. Okay, let me do the last piece of the Gemara, and then we'll wrap it up. Okay, the last narrow line. Hahu yanu kadish tapi chamime. So this is Rashi says it's a child that needed a bris milah. They had not yet given it a bris. Let's look at Rashi, the five lines from the bottom. Dish tapi chamime. She wrote some lemulo. They wanted to give him a bris. They chamulu chamim ba'erev. They heated up water before Shabbos. And then it spilled. They don't have any hot water. Now, Bisman Chazal, they took it that it's crucial to have hot water Otherwise, it's a whole sakana for the child. That's the way they took it. So they want to do the bris. If they had done the bris, so then you say, well, it's pikuach nefesh. We got to do whatever we need to do. Here they hadn't done the bris, but they want to do the bris. So let's take a look at the Gemara. So Amar Luhu Rabba. So Rabba said to them, you can get hot water from my house. Let's say they have, it's a little chatzer, so they're in one bayit, and Rabba lives in the other bayit. So take hot water from my house, and it goes through the chatzer. So Amar Le Abaye Behalu Arvina. So Abaye said, but we didn't make an Erubei chatzerot. So if we would take the hot water, we'd be violating Shabbos on a Drabanan level. So Amar Le Nisvo Hashituf. We can rely on the Shituf Emavoot. So Amar Le Halo Shafin. We didn't do that either. So he says, here's the key. Name Rule Lenakri Leitile. So we could say to a goy, we'll tell the goy to bring over the hot water. So the way I would say it's like Amir La'akum is a shvut, that's the Rabbanan. And then carrying in this Rishus is also a Rabbanan. So it's shvut to shvut b'makom mitzvah. It's one drabanan on top of another drabanan, and the underlying you want to do a mitzvah. So shvut to shvut b'makom mitzvah, you have a heter. Everybody got that? So the one drabanan is Amir la'akum. The second drabanan is the Easter I'm asking the akum to do for me is a drabanan, and it's for a mitzvah to do a bris milah. So shvut to shvut b'makom mitzvah, I have a green light. So he says, Neimu le l'nachri le'tilei. So Amar Abaye, So Bai said, I wanted to ask Rabbi a question on this, but Rav Yosef, it sounds like a lot of chashav people were there, Rabbi, Abaye, Rav Yosef. So Rav Yosef didn't permit me to ask the question. The Amar Rav Yosef, Amar Rav Kahana, because Rav Yosef said the name of Rav Kahana, Ki Avinan Bei Rav Yehuda, when we were in the yeshiva by Rav Yehuda, Hava Amar Lan, he, Rav Yehuda, said to us, Midoraita, if a chacham makes a ruling and it's a Torah, like it's potentially involving Torah violations. So we ask all the questions, and then we follow through with his psak. But b'drabanan, if a chacham is making a ruling on and it involves at worst a violation on a drabanan level, so abdina ma'isa v'hadar mabina tuyufta. So then we'll do like the chacham says to do, and then we'll ask all our questions later. Says Labatar Hachi, so afterwards, I guess they did the bris, whatever. Says Amarle, my bite, load fe lamar. So Rav Yosef said to Bai, what did you want to ask Rabbah? What was your kasha? So he says, Amarle, what I said to him was, Datani, we learned the brisa, Hazah Shvut, Bamir Lanakri Shvut. So there's a Hazas is like sprinkling the water, let's say with the Paraduma, involves a violation of Shabbos on a Drabanan level. And Amir al-Nakri also is a Shvut. So the top line now on Samachet Amar Aleph. Mahazah Shvut Veina Dochet HaShabbat. Just like sprinkling the water, even though it's only a Drabanan level, but even though there's an underlying mitzvah, let's say somebody wants to bring the Korban Pesach, so I can't do the Hazah with him, even though it's going to permit him to do the mitzvah. Af Amir Lanakri Shvut Veina Dochet HaShabbat. So to Amir Lanakri is a Shvut and shouldn't be Dochet Shabbos, even though there's an underlying mitzvah in that case as well. Now, the next few lines is Omach Lok Rishonim, how to learn them. So first I'm going to learn the way the Rif has it, and I think it's the mainstream way of learning. Amar Le, so this is Rav Yosef said to Abaye, V'lo Shani Lach Mein Shvut De'it Be'maise, L'o Shvut De'leit Be'maise. Now, the way that the Rif learns it, means where the isn't there a difference with Amir La'akum when the underlying action is going to involve a Torah prohibition or rabbinic prohibition? So within Amir La'akum, don't you distinguish? So he says, Amar Le, Lo Shani Lach Mein Shvutit Be'maisa. It doesn't fit, the words don't fit 100% correct. In other words, it be'maisa means a masa that's prohibited on a Torah level. He says the shvut to late b'maaseh to a shvut that does not involve a Torah prohibition. He said now there's a question whether we have the following line of the Gemara, the Girsaus, the Hamar lo Amar lenachri zil achem, because he didn't say heat up the water. That would involve a Torah prohibition. He said just bring it. So it's only a rabbinic prohibition. So where the Amir la'akum involves? So it's like I said before. So Amir la'akum is prohibited on a drabanan level. But the Akum himself is only going to do a rabbinic prohibition, and it's b'makom mitzvah, so then I have the green light. Now, some learn, he quotes here, and he has it all in the art scroll, he quotes the Bahagin, Rabbeinu Yehonatan. They don't have this line in the Gemara. You see, the key is that line, Damar lo amar lenachri zil achim. He says that Mar is Rabba. Rabba didn't say to the goy to heat up the water. So if I take that line out, which some take it out, so then I'm left only with the line that whether there's a maisa or not a maisa. So the way that the Bahag and Rabbi Yehonatan interpreted it, isn't there a difference between whether the shvut involves a maisa, like sprinkling, or the shvut is just amira? In other words, I'm only just speaking words. I'm not doing a maisa. I'm just saying words. So according to that version, so then any time there's a mitzvah involved, amira la'akum would fall by the wayside. So let's read the Gemara that way now. So the way the Gemara would go, v'lo shani lach bein shvut de'ipa maisa, isn't there a difference between a prohibition the Rabbanan has a maisa, that, and here it's talking about like the hazah has a maisa involved. He says the shvut de'ipa maisa, like amira la'akum, which has no maisa involved, it's just saying amira, and then with this mitzvah, I could do it. So that's a big nafkamina la'alacha. But we hold the first way. Okay, any questions, comments, or thoughts on anything I did so far? No? Yosef, no questions.
Does this get any easier next few days?
What?
Does it get any easier next few days?
I don't know. It is Erevin. I can't make any guarantees. Now, let me see if I have anything to say with this thing here. Let me just take a look. Samach Zion. Yeah. All right, let me just do a little piece here. I'll read a little piece from the Al Hadaf. Now, the Pasuk says, Vayama Shmini, there's a mitzvah to perform the eighth day, even if it's on Shabbos. And then he says, in Mishnaic times, bathing an infant in hot water before and after his bris was considered vital to his health. These baths were given even on Shabbos. Lachan follows Rabbi Akiva maintains that only the bris meal itself overrides the Easter Shabbos. The machshirim, which can be arranged before Shabbos, such as obtaining or managing a knife, heating the water, may not perform the Shabbos. Remember, like we learned in Masech Shabbos, according to Tana Reb Lezer, you could even do the machshirim on Shabbos. So he says, thus, if no hot water was prepared before Shabbos, or if the prepared water spilled, the bris would have to be postponed until Sunday, unless hot water can be obtained without having for a malacha. Now, the Gemara relates to hot water that was prepared for bris when spilled on Shabbos, and Rabbah advised asking an anjur to do it. Even though requesting an anjur perform malacha is prohibited, Rabbah's opinion, for the sake of mitzvah mila, it is overridden. Rashi and Tos explains that the water is spilled before the bris, and the question was whether to delay the bris or get new water in permitted matter. Or if the water spills after the bris is performed, explains Tosfos, the child's life is in danger, and even a Jew may heat the water for him, because people in Nefesh takes precedence over Shabbos. The Ramban, in Shabbos on Kuf Lam and Dalet, has a novel opinion on this matter. He draws a distinction between the hot water which is necessary for the pre-mila bath and the water for the post-mila bath. He argues that as long as enough water remained for the pre-mila bath, one should bathe the infant and perform the bris without concerning himself about the Shabbos desecration will ensue after the bris. Ein la mitzvah el shaita. In other words, I just have to focus on the here and now. In other words, he's saying, let's say I have hot water for now before the pre-mila bris, the pre-mila bath, but I don't have hot water in the post-mila bath. Once the bris is formed, the water may then be heated for the post-mila bath, even by a Jew, since at that time the infant's life is in danger. Our Gemara that discussed the possibility of having a non-Jew bring hot water is referring to a case where they lacked sufficient hot water for the pre-mila bath. The Baal HaMaor disagrees and maintains that if there is sufficient water for the post-mila bath and there is no non-Jew available to bring new hot water, there is insufficient water for the post-mila bath and no non-Jew available to bring new hot water, the bris must be postponed. Performing the bris with the knowledge that the Shabbos will have to be desecrated afterwards preserve the infant's life is saying about heating the water before the bris. So there's a question, let's say I have everything lined up before the bris, can I go ahead with the bris even though I know I don't have the hot water afterwards? So this machloket, but according to Ramban, yeah, then it's pikuach nefesh. According to the Baal Maor, no, I have to wait. Now, the Rifah explains, contrary to Rashi and Tosfos, that the Gemara could be referring to a case in which the hot water spilled after the bris was performed. Even though the child's life is in danger, and even a Jew would be permitted to heat water for him, they tried to circumvent the desecration of Shabbos. Rob advised requesting a non-Jew to bring the water because, wherever possible, an effort is made to minimize Chil Shabbos. So the Rifah is saying, maybe the sugya is talking about the post me the bath, and the question, of course, I could be Mechal Shabbos because it's Pikuach Nefesh, but whatever I could do to avoid it to be Mechal Shabbos, I have to do. So maybe that's it. The Rambam, however, rules that when attending to the needs of a Kol HaSheish Bo Sakana, critically ill person, the Yisrael should perform all necessary treatments in the most direct and normal manner, and a non-Jew should not be asked to perform the task. So it's like, you know, when you have Pikuach Nefesh, you know, how do I handle this whole thing? All right, now let me see. There's more here.
Rabbi, can you explain what the significance of this hot water is according to their opinions?
So
why do you need hot water for Brit Milah?
It was considered, like, vital for the health. That
why?
That the child be bathed in hot water before the bris and after the bris. That's all.
For what reason? They're going to have more blood flowing through his body.
I don't know. I can't answer this, Daniel.
Does Rabbi Frank have any idea?
I don't know. I think it's waiting for an article by you, Daniel. This is your tafkid in life, to write the article on bathing Bisman and the Mishnah on with the bris mila before and after. Okay. Any other questions, comments, or thoughts? Okay.
Yeah. Just one thing. Yeah, that gets much easier after Daf Kifei.
Okay. Let's just see here. Now, let me end the recording.